Welcome to Listen To. This is Ted. The news was published on Sunday, October 13th. Joining us today are Eric and Kate. Let's dive into our topic. Today we're discussing a recent study on Nova Music Festival survivors and how substance use affected their trauma responses. Let's start with the key findings. Eric, what can you tell us about this research?
Well, Ted, this study is pretty eye-opening. Israeli researchers looked at over 100 survivors of the Nova Music Festival attack. They found that folks who were drinking or doing drugs during the event had a much rougher time afterwards. We're talking significantly higher levels of anxiety, depression, and stress responses compared to those who stayed sober. It's like they got a double whammy: the trauma of the attack plus the aftermath of substance use.
That's right, but let's not beat around the bush here.
Hold on a second, Kate. While alcohol did have a significant impact, we can't ignore the fact that all substances played a role here. It's not just about singling out one thing.
As I was saying, alcohol, which is completely legal, mind you, caused more issues than illegal drugs. That's the elephant in the room we need to address. It's not about demonizing all substances equally when the data clearly points to alcohol as the main culprit.
Interesting. Can you elaborate on the specific effects of alcohol, Kate?
Absolutely, Ted. The study showed that alcohol use led to a whole host of problems. We're talking increased hyperarousal, more anxiety and depression, and higher levels of acute stress. But here's the real kicker. It also caused longer and more frequent dissociative episodes during the traumatic event. Imagine trying to process a horrific attack while your brain is basically checking out. It's like trying to solve a puzzle with half the pieces missing.
While that may be true, we shouldn't overlook the fact that all substance use had negative effects. It's not just about alcohol.
But the study clearly shows that alcohol had the strongest impact. We need to focus on the most significant problem here. Ignoring that is like worrying about a paper cut when you've got a gushing wound.
I disagree. We should address all substance use at events like this, not just alcohol. It's short-sighted to zero in on one substance when the broader issue is impaired judgment and reaction times across the board.
Let's discuss the impact on cognitive functions. Eric, what did the study reveal about this?
The researchers found that substances affected a whole range of cognitive functions. We're talking anxiety levels, motor coordination, memory, and emotional processing. It's like trying to navigate a crisis with a faulty GPS. Everything's off kilter. This impairment seriously hampered the survivor's ability to cope with the trauma. Imagine trying to process a life-threatening situation when your brain's operating system is glitching.
Yes, but again, alcohol was the primary culprit. Dr. Nakash Axelrod explained that alcohol consumption before the attack...
That's a simplification, Kate. All substances can affect cognitive functions and impair judgment in dangerous situations. We can't just point the finger at alcohol and call it a day.
But the study specifically highlights alcohol's unique impact. We can't ignore that fact. It's like you're trying to say all cars are equally dangerous when we've got clear evidence that one model keeps crashing more than others.
Let's put this in historical context. Can you think of any similar events where substance use played a role in trauma responses?
Certainly. The 1979 WHO concert disaster in Cincinnati comes to mind. It was a tragic event where 11 people died in a crowd crush. Many attendees were under the influence of drugs and alcohol. It's a stark reminder of how substance use can amplify the chaos in an already dangerous situation. The impaired judgment of intoxicated concert goers likely contributed to the panic and confusion that led to the crush.
That's not entirely comparable. The Nova attack was a deliberate act of terrorism, not an accident.
Both events involve substance use impacting people's reactions to a sudden, life-threatening situation. The underlying principle is the same: impaired cognitive function in a crisis scenario.
I'd argue a better comparison would be the 2015 Bataclan theater attack in Paris. It was also a terrorist attack at a music venue where some attendees had likely consumed alcohol or drugs. This parallel highlights the specific challenges of responding to a planned attack while potentially under the influence.
Interesting comparisons. How do you think substance use affected victims in these historical events compared to the Nova attack?
In both cases, impaired judgment and slower reaction times likely contributed to higher casualty rates. Substance use can hinder people's ability to recognize danger and respond appropriately. It's like trying to solve a complex puzzle with blurry vision. Every second counts in these situations, and even slight impairment can have dire consequences.
While that may be true, we shouldn't blame the victims. The real issue is the lack of security measures at these events.
I'm not blaming anyone, just pointing out that substance use is a factor we can't ignore when planning for public safety. It's about recognizing all potential vulnerabilities to create more effective safeguards.
But focusing on individual behavior distracts from the larger issues of terrorism and inadequate security protocols. It's like worrying about whether someone's wearing a seatbelt when the car's brakes don't work.
It's not an either-or situation. We can address both personal responsibility and systemic security issues. A comprehensive approach considers all factors that could impact safety and survival in a crisis.
The priority should be on preventing attacks, not policing people's personal choices at events. We need to focus on the root cause, not symptoms.
Looking to the future, how do you think these findings might impact event planning and security? Eric, what's your take?
I believe we'll see stricter substance policies at large events. Organizers might implement more rigorous checks for drugs and alcohol, and possibly even breathalyzer tests at entrances. It's not about being killjoys, but about ensuring everyone has the best chance of reacting quickly and rationally in an emergency. Think of it as a safety net. We hope we never need it, but it's crucial to have in place.
That's an overreach. We should focus on improving emergency response systems and evacuation procedures instead of infringing on people's personal freedoms.
It's not about infringing on freedoms, it's about ensuring safety. Clear-headed attendees are more likely to survive in an emergency. We're talking about potentially life-saving measures here, not arbitrary rules.
But increased security measures could create bottlenecks and actually make evacuation more difficult in an emergency. It's like putting so many locks on a door that you can't get out quickly when there's a fire.
Interesting points. How do you think these findings might influence trauma treatment for survivors of similar events?
I expect we'll see more targeted therapies that take substance use into account. Treatment plans might include addressing any underlying substance abuse issues. It's about providing holistic care that considers all aspects of a survivor's experience. Like assembling a puzzle, every piece matters in creating a complete picture of recovery.
That's stigmatizing survivors. We should focus on providing accessible mental health care without judgment. People might avoid seeking help.
It's not about judgment. It's about providing the most effective care based on all relevant factors. Ignoring substance use in treatment would be like a doctor overlooking a patient's medical history. You're missing crucial information.
But focusing on substance use could deter some survivors from seeking help, fearing blame or legal consequences. We need to create an environment where people feel safe coming forward, not one where they fear being judged for their choices.
That's why it's crucial to approach this sensitively and ensure confidentiality in treatment programs. We can address substance use as part of a comprehensive treatment plan without stigmatizing survivors. It's about healing, not blaming.
I still think the emphasis should be on trauma-focused therapies, not substance use. Let's not lose sight of the forest for the trees here.
Thank you both for this enlightening discussion. It's clear that addressing trauma responses in the context of substance use is a complex issue with no easy answers. As we wrap up, it's important to remember that research like this aims to improve our understanding and ability to help survivors, not to assign blame. Thanks for tuning in to listen to. Until next time, this is Ted signing off.